Hello everyone, welcome back. I'm super excited to be here today with Tania Casentino, who is the general manager for Microsoft in Brazil. Hi Tania, welcome.
Hi Bruno, great pleasure to be here with you.
My pleasure Tania. And we'll be talking to you today about sustainability. It's such a big topic. And I will start, and I know it's a passion of yours, Tania. So we'll try to kind of go deep into this topic and try to understand, you know, like how people can prepare for that journey. It's a long journey for certain. So first off, maybe the first question I have in my mind is like, what are some of the things around sustainability that you feel like people should know about that they don't know? Like, what are the things that you wish they knew before they started that journey?
First of all, I love the word journey. So the first thing you need to learn that it's not a decision that I take today and tomorrow I become sustainable. It's a journey of lots of learnings and choices, trade-offs you make along this journey. I think this is the first important thing. Second thing, we need all to understand that sustainability means business. And more sustainable business, even if you think only the financial perspective. I heard a lot of people during my career that sustainability is deviating me from my core business or is taking money from my core business. And this should not be the case. It will only make sense if it is connected to the core business and you help me to do more business because I'm sustainable. And as a leader, we have to make difficult choices along the journey. I think those are the three top things I think everybody should at least be aware.
Got it. And so on that one, if we can dig deeper a little bit there. So do you see the people that are doing a lot of progress in their journeys? Do you feel that they pick sustainability fronts or topics within sustainability that are closer to their core business or at least they are adjacent to where they can create an impact? Because I guess trying to think of my business here is like it's hard for me to make an impact on a sustainable front if you know my core business is completely detached from that, right? So it's a completely divergent thing, right? So what your experience has been at Microsoft and in Microsoft's clients as well?
Yeah, I think we should start learning about our footprint. So how my primarily, even before say I do more business because of sustainability, primarily we should learn about our footprint. So I produce something, we produce software, people produce goods, other people sell things, other people just transact. So how your business, how is the footprint of your business? Are you generating greenhouse gases? Are you wasting water? Are you just creating waste, plastic, whatever? So this is the first thing we should think. And then it starts to rethink process and business to see how can I produce more while I use less. And then you start to connect with your business, because if you use less, it will cost less. This is maybe in the beginning to change the process to use less raw material, for instance. It will have a cost of investment. But in the journey, in the total life cycle of this product, probably you will reduce cost because we are using less resources, less material as headcount. So I think this is the primary what I would have or how to start the journey. Then you have to see each business has different impacts. And then you can understand your materiality metrics, material metrics. So where I'm affecting the others, the society and the environment, and then you can prioritize and then build the journey.
Cool. And what are some of the biggest challenges? Let's say you kind of already identified where you want to make an impact, and you start a journey to try to actually, do it and incorporate that as part of our mission, which I can't imagine that is easy, right? So everybody, it's busy enough trying to run a business the way it is, then you have another, you know, thing to do, right? And do it within your 8 hours of the day, right? So what are the, when the next step in the journey, what are the main challenges that you see, again, based on in your experience at your company today, or even I know you guys have been working with some clients as well in that journey. What are the challenges that you see that people should be prepared for?
I used to say that sustainability is kind of a collective sports game. So again, it's not only the president, the general manager say, I'm sustainable today, so I become sustainable. It requires change in different areas of the company. So the involvement of everyone is important. But then I have to train the people, to educate people in the topic. I'm a sales person. Why should I do something about that? Or I'm a production manager. Why should I care? So this piece of education is very important. And also when you see that it will make good for business, but also will help us to attract more talents, because the new talents are also, they are arriving and asking what we are doing. But we will need, as you said, the day today has more than 24 hours, so we try to make our days be longer and longer, lots of work. So how should I care and have a new overload or workload in my day? So engaging people, educating people to make them feel as part of the process is super critical. Educate the leaders to be sustainable leaders. So we see several groups doing this kind of education to try to show to the, because as I said, leaders have to take decision. I will not invest in this because I'm investing in this initiative on sustainability. So, no, but this is money of the business. So this decision is most of the time is very difficult to make. Then I have to explain. So give clarity, educate people, and give clarity about the importance of sustainability is super key. And then we need to have work groups, because we have most of the companies or large companies have one person in charge of sustainability. But as we are working different parts of the company, it's like digital transformation that you are the expert to build. See, if the digital transformation sits in the room of the CIO, the company will not benefit from the usage of AI. You need to engage every single business leader, and business and IT should work together to use data with AI to generate insights. I see sustainability something very similar. I have an expert that is the chief sustainability officer. This person with the CEO will define the goals based on the impact of the company, the footprint impact. They will define together the goal of sustainability. But you only reach if you leave the chief sustainability officer room and goes to the business. So then I have to work hands in hands with sustainability officer and different areas of business. And again, here, technology can play a very important role, because when you talk sustainability, it can be something very abstract. We talk about some metrics that are data everywhere in the company, data that are in silos. So how can I build a data lake? How can I take care of those data? How can I use those data, collect them, treat them, and generate insights to be more sustainable? So the same principle, and then we need to have business, IT, and sustainability working together to define the journey. But the challenge is to put those people work together.
Yeah, because sustainability implies a different stakeholder, right? Like I said, it's easy for business people to understand the shareholders, myself and my team, and clients, right? Like those are stakeholders that are clearly, you know, factored in any decision that the leaders are making, right? Like, but the environment or in kind of society as a whole is like a kind of new player there, a new stakeholder And people don't have the muscle memory, I guess, to kind of include them in the decisions that they make, right? So what some of the tips or ways and strategies that you've seen to execute against that that what you said, like how to make that important for leaders, like beyond education to tell, like there's just so much, you know, stuff we can write in walls and CEO talks, right, that will convince people that that's important. Like, what else companies can do to make, you know, like to make that signal clear, like that this is important, right? But so actually gets factory in you know, in the day by day of the decisions that people are making every day.
First, measure impact. You don't manage what you don't measure. Use the data, I think, is super important. So it's a, and then use it science-based data to see, guys, I think everybody knows today, this was not like that 10, 15 years ago to talk about climate change. Today, I think we have many people, much more than in the past, knowing about the effects of climate change. So it's easier to create comparison and say, I'm progressing here, and this is good because of that. And show the evolution of the data. And because of this is a journey. So I commit today, I measure, I compare to my commitment, then I improve. And then if I'm good, I can change the target, and then I will measure against this target. That can be a target, moving target. This is super important. Another good way to tell people is to have the storytellers about the impact on other people. So I used to work with Access to Energy. You know, we talk a lot about cut emissions, but we still have almost 1 billion people without access to energy. What do you mean by that? Those people are living like 200 years ago. They don't have access to consumption. They don't have sanitation. They don't have, they cannot study because they don't have lights to read a book in the night. So they cannot go to schools in the night because they don't have lights. So it's another word. So providing access to energy means, and if it's outsource of energy, even renewables, has a certain portion of carbon. Very low intensity, very high intensity, if it's fossil fuel. So putting 1 billion of people in the grid will impact more carbon. So I have to put those people in the grid while and foster economical development growth while we cut emissions. This is super difficult. We need technology again to help us that. We need technology to remove carbon off the atmosphere. But when you put one person or 100,000 people inside the grid and you change the life of those people, we should start to tell this story. And so those are the things. So we can, and those stories, the impact of a good story can change the world. So I have a person that is saying, this training of digital transformed my life. And I did this and this and that because of that. And the day that I had access to a computer or access to energy, I started, or transformed my life, I started to do something. When you tell those stories to your people, you create a much higher engagement inside the company, not only engagement with the programs, but engagement because employees are one of our most important stakeholders. You create a very good engagement between your employees and your company. You create a good story to tell to future talents so we can become a talent magnet because people will choose, I will work for that company because they are doing good. You can create funds. Your customers can become funds because, oh, look what the difference this company is doing. So telling good stories, not greenwashing, I hate that, but having real stories, if you're good, tell those stories, you really engage all your stakeholders, even the investors, and they can be mobilized to keep the support and the growth of the company.
I love that you say, like, the you know, the storytelling and showing that's better, right? Like because we live in a similar situation in a completely different context, which is digital, where the biggest hurdle is actually the mind shift, like the cultural shift. Incorporating a new stakeholder in a decision-making process is not something we should take for granted. It's a big shift in terms of mindset, and it's a cultural change, right? And for us, our experience in cultural change with our clients today in the digital transformation context, we learned a very hard lesson, which is culture is there for a reason. Like, what is culture in the first place? Culture is like how we do things around here, right? And there's a reason why culture is there. It's because they made people successful in that way, right? So this is the way that we believe we're successful, right? So, and we learned that to change a culture, you need to change for something that, guess what, make them more successful. So it's about, you know, creating more happiness or success. Like, so I love when you say, like, telling the stories of a better, you know, outcome, a better future for not only your company, yourself, but the world. Those are the things that actually start saying, okay, this is better, right? Because no one, I remember when the pandemic started and people saying, oh, you know, people will devise new habits. And once they, you know, they're used to a habit, they know those things will stick. I'll say, no. They'll only stick if they're actually made the life better. If they didn't, they will not stick. You know, I tell you, my wife is not, it's not cutting my hair anymore. It didn't make her life better. You know, she cut my hair, you know, a lot of times, you know, because we need to, there was nowhere to go, it's not because it's a habit. You know, the thing is, people use, oh no, big companies do this because they've done it their whole life. No, they've done because it's making them successful. If they learn a different way that make them happier or more successful, they will incorporate and they will become incorporated in the company's tissue, right? So I love that notion. And I love also
what brought us here, culture could be part of it, cannot bring us to the next level. We saw several great companies just disappearing. And Microsoft, I think, is a good example of a cultural change. And they have Satya Lin leading that. And what he did, he changed the rituals. To change culture, we had to change the rituals. He changed the way he communicated. He boosted some values of the company. And he tells a story. And he puts everything around the mission of empower every person, every organization to do more. So everything we do, we connect to the mission. And then you tell stories about the way we are living our mission every day. And those stories energize us and then make us successful. And then we move forward. And then it becomes a kind of closed loop.
Really cool. And back to the other topic, which is in practicality, it's very important. So like if you don't measure, if you don't have an objective measure where you are, it's hard to make progress. So you've seen the kind of deep use of data there and the objectivity towards the sustainability. Do you see those scorecards of sustainability getting into, the leadership scorecards, like really going into their incentives and bonus structures, like it communicates that's important, right? So that, have you seen this as a best practice, or do you don't advise?
If you want to change, we need first the change should be in the table in the room of the C-level. So I, as a general manager, had to lead the change. And I like when we put in the compensation a certain way, we measure the success of people based in what we believe success is. So I like that practice. And then we have to be able to measure properly. And then I think this is the whole area that we can work today. And Microsoft just launched Cloud for Sustainability to help companies to measure their footprint. Because we know that this is not easy. We are just launching also a coalition with companies, a kind of pledge to standardize the way we measure, what we measure, and to have full transparency And with full transparency, then we can measure executives. We can link it to success of executives or the success of sustainability. So we are leading several initiatives towards the measurement, the evolution, and we are connecting the success of our people to the success of sustainability.
Love that concept. You know, if you really believe that that's success, you should be in everybody's, you know, like scorecards. It's all really cool, really cool. We're approaching our time limit here, so we can make it, you know, short and interesting and still deep. Any final words around the topic that you think people should really take away?
I think when you go, because there are a lot of very tough discussions around sustainability with lots of people that don't know a lot. So I think it's a fascinating area to study, to learn. We can learn new things every day. It really impacts on the business, but what we have to do is, or the way I approach it and made me successful and made the companies I worked for and today Microsoft successful, is to have, we have a very pragmatic approach with clear objectives, clear targets, and one step each time, investing a lot in education of our people. Nobody is obliged to be an expert in sustainability because it is a very technical stuff. So let's learn what's necessary at our level to be supporters, to be sponsors, or to be the executors. But let's be open to the new. This is very important. And let's learn from the stories. So I love it when what happened with Microsoft. We did a big declaration, big ambition, put a big ambition in place 2 years ago, declaring that we are going to be net zero by 2030, but be net negative by 2050 of our historical emissions. And that, and we are talking about net, we want to tackle scope 1, 2, 3. And you know how difficult it is to tackle scope 3. And then we started to publish our report, our sustainability report. We did it the first one last year. Then we realized it, that what we commit, some things we got there, some things was more difficult than we thought in the beginning. So being humble and transparent would hide the numbers. This is against sustainability because sustainability means transparency. Or you could learn, what should I have done differently? What are the difficulties? Let's learn from others. Let's share our pain with others. So this journey, I think, is beautiful because we will learn collectively how, in order to accelerate, the journey should not be done alone. So we have to learn from others. And I think this is the best way to go to the next step.
Yeah, it's really powerful, right? So way more powerful than just for a sustainability journey. Like when it's okay to not know, to not have the answers, and to be in a journey. Okay, this we're going to learn together and be, you know, really real with our shortcomings and admit them and be vulnerable. But it creates a very powerful, you know, culture. So congratulations for all you guys have done there. Wish all the best in the rest of the journey, which is a long one. When we're talking about 2050, right? Like, imagine what we're kind of a really materialized what long journey is. Right? We're not talking about, you know, not even a couple of years. So Tanya, thank you so much for your kindness to join us here and share your wisdom. And stay around. We will have more interesting stuff like we had today here with Tanya in the next episodes. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Bruno, for the opportunity. It was a really pleasure to participate. And let's do it together because we need our partners to help us in this journey.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.